right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and wrapping up the show with me, another generalist investor that we talk to on almost a weekly basis is Joel Alkonen. He is the co-host of the Pre-Market Prep show. You can also check out the Pre-Market Prep website and visit his new website, the Stock Trader Network. Again, Joel is a very active trader in these markets, closely watching day-to-day, week-to-week moves, as well as the data that comes out. And Joel, look, we'll stay big picture here, but I do want to start with some of the recent data. We've gotten a lot of inflation data from the U.S., and quite frankly, inflation seems more or less, in my eyes, stuck, a little below the 3% level. Really depends how you watch this data, I think. The people that think inflation is going to continue higher, they're saying that the Fed's screwed and they can't get it back to 2%. But the fact of the matter is inflation really does seem flat. I get that it's not at 2%, but it's also not skyrocketing higher. There is also that argument that's saying just wait for the upcoming months as tariffs roll through and start to get priced in. However, there's so many different components that play into that data that it can sometimes net out being neutral. So, Joel, what's your takeaway from this inflation in the U.S. really just hanging around below, slightly below that 3% level?
The market, or first of all, good afternoon. Thanks for having me. Always enjoy being on the KE Report. Silver lining market, Corey, even with some of the earnings reports we'll get to later on. But, you know, the data was the data. And it was the expected drop in the CPI was a welcome surprise in the markets. They did do a little bit of an adjusting, so it wasn't quite as much. PPI being benign as well. So right now, at the point after the volatility that we've had in the earlier the year, people are not being alarmed. They are going, they're taking the data at face value. And until otherwise notified, inflation is something that, I won't say it's a thing of the past, but it's a less of a concern for investors.
Feel like we're all just waiting to see what the next trend is, you know, for this inflation data. Is it going to trickle lower? Is it going to start moving higher? A lot of people focus on, yes, inflation, what prices are going up. What about the deflationary side of things, Joel? Anything you're seeing in terms of prices, costs, the deflation, things going down?
Well, I mean, I think one of your primary components and inflation, and it's tied to a lot of different things, is oil. And oil is holding out at lower levels that you've seen over a long period of time. And, you know, that has a spillover effect, right? That has a spillover effect to the consumer. If they're spending less money, you know, at the pump, well, then they can, you know, go out and get that, you know, that extra dinner at their favorite restaurant. So that's deflationary. The government definitely cutting back spending, right? So that's, you know, a deflationary impact. And also, you know, cutting jobs. So there are things that are going on, you know, on there that could potentially offset these tariffs. But the problem is that we don't know what the tariffs are. We don't know when they're going to take place. And we don't know how long that's going to take for that to show up in the data. So you got your deflationary things going on. You just have the unknown. And right now at this point, you know, investors are like, hey, I got to the party. The party's roaring. I'm not leaving.
So what about those comments from Walmart, though? Their CEO coming out saying that higher prices are coming.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you couldn't get any more of a downer than the Walmart CEO flat out coming out and saying, hey, I don't see how prices are going to stay the same in this environment. I don't know how suppliers are going to keep their warehouses full, and we are not going to be able to absorb those costs, and we're going to pass it on to the consumer. Well, they hit the stock and it came back. So, like I said at the top, you know, it's just a silver lining market. And until otherwise notified, you know, inflation is trending lower, steady, not necessarily looking for any major rate cuts, but you have a Goldilocks scenario in the market right now.
So taking that into account, that silver lining market, Goldilocks scenario for the markets, no one was saying that a little over a month ago after Liberation Day, but it seems like the trade talks, they have completely switched from more tariffs to now more trade deals. So how do you balance out, again, Walmart's comments that higher prices are coming, but now with these so-called trade deals being done?
Well, I mean, you hear the deals. I mean, that's the other thing too for these, over the last couple of days, there's been huge buying balances on the close, and managers that, miss buying the dip are having to buy the rip, and just anticipation of, more deals being announced over the weekend. I think if you take at face value what the China deal was, I mean, 30% tariffs is still going to put a huge burden on our economy. So the market, go back to using that term silver lining, the market is taking the bits of, information and construing it in a positive way, whether it is or not.
But how much do we need to look forward? Everyone's saying all this data we're getting is it's obviously backward looking, and a lot of this data was coming out as these tariffs were maybe just being announced or even before they were even announced. A lot of the bears, I think, are saying just wait for the upcoming few months, especially the few quarters, for all this negative sentiment and the bearish outlook to more come to fruition. What do you have to say to all the bears out there?
You got to be in it to win it. Yeah. And I think that that's why this rally has continued, is because of the people that have taken that position that are underinvested and now are just scrambling to get back into the market. So, it's okay to be wrong, but it's not okay to stay wrong. And I think some of these managers, that dip was so quick and so violent that they really didn't have a chance. If they sold, they're really in bad shape. If they didn't have the ability to buy or buy more, they're in bad shape too. So they're just caught in a predicament here where they have to show performance, they have to show ownership, and they're being raced by high frequency traders or algo sniffers or anything of that nature, and they're out getting ahead of their bids. So now, you could be as bearish if you want, but if the market keeps going up, I guess what you would be a little bit concerned about is if you do the next deal, you get the big pop and then you get the fade. That would be the thing that maybe might indicate a turn in the market.
To your point about these fund managers, money managers being underinvested in this, something that my last guest, Rick Bensinger, brought up is that this recent rally, it's been the retail, the individual investor that has been on board. Usually they're considered the dumb money that is on the wrong side of the trade. What do you take away from, again, the individual, the so-called dumb money being right, at least so far in this rebound?
I mean, that's one thing that's it's changed dramatically, really since COVID, is that the advent of the retail investor and the disregard for valuations and all about the momentum trade. And right now, the algos are programmed that way to go with the momentum. The retail's programmed to go with the momentum, so that that's going to continue. We have the retail kind of getting out ahead of the institutions and buying these things and buying options, and then it's kind of the tail wagging the dog. So you can't discount the retail impact on the smart environment. And I know retail throw a lot of money into the market during that dip, so it makes it harder for the larger investor to move in and out when you have a very active retail crowd, and they love it. They love it. They love buying stocks, and they're not caring about the valuations.
Yeah, still want to be long. Hey, still that bias to the upside. Now, as much as U.S. markets have rebounded after the whole Liberation Day plummet, so have international markets. And I'm seeing European markets, especially, move to even higher levels than they were at pre-Liberation Day, exceeding what the U.S. markets have done. What's that environment telling you?
They're taking one up out of the book and lowering rates and quantitative easing and pouring money into their economies. I mean, I think that, it was made apparent by the current administration that, you know, they're going to have to spend more on defense. They're going to have to spend more to prop up their economies. It's not, you know, it's not going to all be coming from the U.S. So while our rates are going up, theirs are coming down and providing stimulus. So it's just as simple as, you know, what's going on in the monetary system. And, you know, we built up one hell of a rallying foundation on quantitative easing. Maybe they're taking one page out of our book.
So, Joel, let's move over to the commodities then. Look, gold is fading from its highs of 3,500. It's right now around 32, just under 3,200. Copper remains very much range bound, right in the mid $4 range. Oil had that breakdown, hasn't quite made it back to that range that it's been trading in for a few years now, and looks like it might be fading a little bit lower as we end the week. Natural gas, that's also very much in the middle of its range. Anything on the commodity front that's really standing out to you?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, you're seeing the you know, the exit out of gold, you know, back to a risk on market, risk on in equities. So you have to, you know, you have to look, be careful. There's been a historic run in the gold market. Silver never really followed suit. And, you know, some of your other commodities are stable. So, you know, it's back into the high beta, high risk Bitcoin, you know, stocks. And commodities have had their run and probably seen a rotation out of those stocks back into the market.
You mentioned Bitcoin. Let's talk Bitcoin, because back above 100,000 as we're recording this, right around 104,000. It's been a strong rebound. We've heard a little bit more of Bitcoin in the news, but hey, look, Liberation Day again seemed like it was a great buying opportunity for the Bitcoin bulls. Any targets you have from your technical analysis?
When you go to Bitcoin, I mean, I like to look at the futures and it's still off the all-time high. I'm just looking at these futures. It looks like you got a pesky level at 105,000. It hit it in four of the last five sessions. So, you know, it's resistance until it's taken out. But after that, you know, you got some room above that. But definitely a pause in the action at 105,000 in the futures.
All right, so Joel, let's talk individual names. There are a lot of earnings reports have now already been released on the earnings front. What's been your takeaway from this Q1 earnings season?
Not bad. Not bad. I mean, you know, the stocks that, you know, were trading at all-time highs and stuff that didn't blow away, took a little bit of a haircut. The stocks that, you know, had rallies off the lows, but, you know, needed momentum to continue. Those that were knocked down were bought back up. So it's just a market environment that they're in here where, you know, even when these stocks, you know, the tech stocks or, you know, a lot of, you know, AI related, when they're hit, you're finding buyers. So, you know, earnings season, okay. Some showed guidance, others didn't, but the buy the dip mentality is alive and well.
Anything else standing out to you then, Joel, in terms of where investors are positioning in individual names?
No, but just we're through earnings season. We do have retail earnings season come up, so we will find out the temperament of the consumer. So that's something to keep an eye on. We're through the monthly options expiration. That's actually today is actually the third Friday. So, you know, now, I mean, I don't want to, if you want to go all the way to, you know, July 3rd and Liberation Day, the next announcements here. But there's really Trump is, you know, not providing any negative catalyst to the market. And if anything, is providing the opposite.
Yeah, what a shift it has been in just over a month. One other thing we were talking about off mic are 13Fs. So institutional investors needing to reveal if they have a 10% or greater stake in any companies. Those have been coming out. What have you been seeing on the 13F front?
Well, the 13F front is very interesting here. And just to, a note to your investors, Warren Buffett is really the one that's important. And especially when he takes a new stake. He didn't take any new stakes, but he substantially added to Constellation Brands, which is having a good day. He also added substantially the pool, which is up and at near the highs of the session. He sold out of his Citigroup. He got flat as Citigroup. The two takeaways, of course, Warren is the one to pay the most attention to. My primary takeaways from the 13Fs were a move by NVIDIA. NVIDIA, very active investors, and they took a big stake in CoreWeave, a new IPO, and that stock chopped around pretty good off its earnings here. But what a vote of confidence here from NVIDIA. The stock is up 26% today, $17, blasting to a new all-time high. So that's something to keep an eye on, not only when the big fund managers make investments, but companies as well, one of them being NVIDIA, which is pretty well-run company. I think the most interesting thing of the 13Fs is has to be the move by Michael Burry. We all know Michael from the Big Short. Sold out a lot of his positions, Baba and Baidu, and can't think of the other things he had. And he doubled his position in Estee Lauder, which peaked at nearly $400 in 2022, bottomed last month at 48.37. So you talk about diversification, don't talk to Michael Burry about it. He's all in on Estee Lauder.
We'll leave it there, Joel. Great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us on this weekend show. Again, Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Free Market Prep Show. Check out that website as well as the Stock Trader Network. And everyone, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. Kept this weekend show a little bit more general, trying to make sense of these market moves and the trends that were very negative a month and a half ago, let's say, that seem to have shifted course a little bit. Very much a question mark where the next trends come from, but the narrative out of the current administration also very different than what we were hearing at the beginning of April. That carries a lot of weight in these markets, and it's something that can also shift very quickly. Even though these markets haven't gotten back up to those all-time highs, they are so close. Everyone, please be sure to go back through our website, kereport.com. Also, subscribe on your podcast player to the KE Report. Review, leave comments. It all helps us spread the word on the show. And check out our YouTube page. Again, just search the KE Report. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.